This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break, and at the worst possible time. Call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.
We continue our four-part series on the most important elections in history. Yesterday was 1917, and you can find part one at glennbeck.com. But today, we take you to the second most important election of the last 100 years. It's 1968, right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
America was a very different place in 1968. Or was it? Yes, the record and song of the year for 1968 was The Fifth Dimension's Up, Up, and Away. That's a song you wouldn't even hear today during a write-up of any self-respecting building's elevator. But on the other hand, the album of the year was the groundbreaking Beatles classic, Sgt. Pepper. The federal debt that year was a paltry $368 billion, pocket change by today's $19 trillion standards. And at the box office, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Americans also loved Planet of the Apes with Charlton Heston and Barbara Streisand's Funny Girl. Even with everything that was happening in America, everything that had happened, it still, in many ways, seemed to be a place of some innocence. Americans were still explorers in 1968. We were reaching out to the stars. NASA's Apollo 8 became the first manned flight to orbit the moon.
We have liftoff.
After JFK's sweeping moonshot vision in 1961, the space race had captured America's imagination. But the turbulence of the following years had also taken a heavy toll on the nation's psyche. JFK had been assassinated 5 years earlier. Then there was the assassination of Malcolm X, followed in 68 by the unthinkable assassination of both JFK's brother, RFK, and Martin Luther King Jr.
Senator Robert Francis Kennedy died today, June 6, 1968.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
During this decade, there had been civil rights marches, massive and frequent rioting, a flower power movement, hippies, yippies, free love, war protests, campus discontent, tension and violence with police, racial tension and racial violence, race riots, and just a general upheaval of society. During the Summer Olympic Games, two black American athletes shocked the nation with black power salutes during the national anthem and their medal ceremony. It was awkward, and for the United States, an embarrassing political display during the supposedly non-political Olympic Games. Following decades of government growth as a result of FDR's New Deal, President Lyndon Johnson extended the government's role into the lives of Americans with his Great Society policies. Public housing developments sprang up all over New York City and across the country. Take a drive through the Bronx and see how well that policy has turned out. With the growth of government came more reliance upon the government, and an ever-growing sense with some, especially the youth, that citizens were entitled to certain benefits. This philosophy began to infect more and more college campuses, and it was combining with racial tensions to create a volatile mix for America's major universities. In addition, the long war in Vietnam was dragging on. America's young men were being called up to duty and put their lives on the line, fighting in a war that few of them really understood. But things got worse in 1968. Much worse. As far as public opinion of the war was concerned, when the Vietnamese launched the massive Tet Offensive, 70,000 North Vietnamese troops and Viet Cong viciously attacked more than 100 cities, towns, and villages in South Vietnam. U.S. troops successfully fought them back and inflicted heavy casualties on the communists. But America's media coverage of the attack, especially from Walter Cronkite, America's most trusted newsman, sounded quite different.
To say that we are closer to victory today is to believe, in the face of the evidence, the optimists who have been wrong in the past. To suggest we are on the edge of defeat is to yield to unreasonable pessimism. To say that we are mired in stalemate seems the only realistic, if unsatisfactory, conclusion.
So despite the overwhelming victory of U.S. military forces and their South Vietnamese allies, the media coverage was so decidedly negative that the media successfully snatched a defeat from the jaws of victory for the United States of America. Into this boiling stew of discontent and the rise of progressivism and entitlement mentality, America's college youth were looking for a change. They would find it on American campuses. They found it with Students for a Democratic Society, a socialist movement, the radical Black Panthers, and extremist terrorists like the Weather Underground's Bill Ayers.
For me, this is a time not only of great stress and oppression and authoritarianism and a kind of rising, incipient American form of fascism.
So heading into the summer of 1968, America was on the verge of exploding into chaos. In early August, the Republicans held their convention, nominating former Vice President Richard Nixon. Then, on the 26th of that month, in Chicago, the Democrats began their convention. Adding to the nasty mood of the country, the weather in Chicago for the delegates was hot and humid. And the air conditioning in the area was, for some reason, not operating well. The taxis weren't operating at all. And the drivers had called a strike just before the convention. The country was descending into chaos, and protesters from all over the nation showed up in Chicago for the convention. Hippies, yippies, peaceniks, socialists, communists, Black Panthers, and so many more. During those hot, late August days in Chicago, at the Democrats' big show, all hell broke loose. Over 10,000 protesters showed up, many there just to cause trouble. There they were met by 12,000 police, 15,000 Army and National Guardsmen, and 1,000 Secret Service agents. Those trying to keep the peace couldn't tell the peaceful from the violent. One former police officer, Ernie Bellow, said, "A long hair was a long hair. I'm not sure how people think we should have been able to tell the difference. They don't look any different. They don't speak any different, dress any different. Their signs said the same thing. They were trouble. We read about them, and they spoke of causing trouble in our city for the convention, poisoning things, having sex on the streets, and hurting the delegates. It was all bad, and we could hear it coming down the pike and smell it, too." One of the other officers agreed. There was no distinguishing the hippies, yippies, diggies, SDSers, and all those radical groups, recalls a former Chicago cop. They all went under different names, but we kept our eyes on all of them. I think they were pretending that they were just different at times. But that was just a ploy, because when they got on the street, they all behaved the same way. Your regular patrolman wasn't going to be able to tell these people apart, and they didn't seem to care what you thought anyway, even if they weren't in trouble. They wanted to look the part. So much tear gas was dispersed on the crowds in Chicago that Democratic nominee and Vice President Hubert Humphrey was affected by it in the shower of his Hilton hotel room. Over the 5 days, there were hundreds of police and protesters injured, as well as hundreds of arrests. The country was horrified, and it all unfolded in front of them on TV. The protesters were convinced Americans would side with them, but they were shocked to find Americans did not. Disgusted by the tactics and the violence, Americans instead decided they wanted someone who would come in and stop the violence and chaos. We elected a strong man, a man who wouldn't put up with this kind of thing anymore, someone who would stop the violence and the war.
Never has so much military, economic, and diplomatic power been used so ineffectively as in Vietnam. If after all of this time and all of this sacrifice and all of this support, there is still no end in sight, then I say the time has come for the American people to turn to new leadership, not tied to the policies and mistakes of the past. I pledge to you, we shall have an honorable end to the war in Vietnam.
Americans did vote that way and turned to a strong man, Richard Nixon. Someone not necessarily married to the Constitution of the United States, but someone they perceived would stop the madness. Someone who would finally get things done. Tomorrow, as part of our four-part series, The Most Important Elections of the Last 100 Years, America gets another beatdown and then finds hope.
Glenn Beck.
When our water heater broke down last month, it was a nightmare. It took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. By the time it was all said and done, I felt like I'd been taken. But what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. And they will break, and at the worst possible time. Call American Residential Warranty right now for free information on home warranties starting at just pennies a day. Don't wait for your refrigerator to stop running or your ceiling fans to stop turning. Call American Residential Warranty right now. Ask how you can save up to 50% on washer and dryer coverage. Just call 1-800-686-3910. That's 1-800-686-3910. Again, 1-800-686-3910. Call now.